LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came, with wings as swift as snow, with eyes as flame. All hail to thee, O lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady,
the hymn, The Angel Gabriel, telling briefly the story of what we call in church history and the church calendar, the Annunciation, that is the angel Gabriel's visit to the Virgin Mary, wherein he announces, and she conceives through God's Word and Holy Spirit, the birth of Jesus Christ. We're going to be telling that story. It really is, in Luke's telling, the continuation of the story we were talking about last week, the birth of John the Baptist foretold. Joining us to teach this Sunday school lesson, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Todd.
This really is a continuation in Luke's telling of last week's Sunday school lesson. What was that, and how does this fit together with it?
The very first verse in the Sunday school lesson from Concordia Publishing House is verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee. So the first question that will come up, what, the sixth month of, is that how old Gabriel was? Or is that the sixth month of from creation? And Scripture interprets Scripture. So all you do is you go back a few verses, and this is how the two are connected. The angel Gabriel had gone to Zechariah saying that his elderly wife Elizabeth will conceive and bear a child. And for 5 months, the two verses before the beginning of our text, she kept herself hidden. But then in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel. So it's the same angel that came to Zechariah. And second of all, it's in the sixth month of the pregnancy of John the Baptizer in the womb of Elizabeth. And it really comes together with Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. In other words, the fullness of time has now come upon us, and the last prophet of the Old Testament books is going to be John the Baptizer, and he is going to proclaim and announce the coming of the Messiah, who, of course, is Jesus.
So these two things fit together. They're intended to fit together. It's not just a chronological connection. These are these two births, these two foretellings, come together on purpose.
Yes, Gabriel goes and does news of a miraculous birth with Elizabeth, and then guess what? He's going to be talking to Mary about another miraculous birth, which really is quite interesting.
So let's talk about what's actually happening here. The church usually refers to this as the Annunciation, but could we also call it, before we get into the details of the story, the conception of Jesus Christ?
Yes. In fact, I'll often begin a sermon or a seminar saying, what's the date that we celebrate Jesus, of course, coming into the world? And everybody says Christmas. No, that's not correct. You are correct, Todd, in the conception. And it's actually on March the 25th that is celebrated. And we rarely celebrate. celebrate it because it's during Lent. But I remember I had a Lenten service once that just so happened to be on March 25th, and I began it with, "O little town of Bethlehem." And nobody knew why I was doing that until I got to the sermon and explained that this was, of course, the Annunciation of the Virgin Mary. And 9 months before December 25th is March 25th.
So the angel comes, and how does he first, we sometimes get caught up in the address that he greets Mary with. What should we make of this greeting? She's wondering what the greeting means, too.
Yes, he says, "O favored one." And I think a lot of people re-understand that to mean not what it actually says, but now she is God's favorite. And then they have to figure out, well, why is she the favorite one? And there are some Christians who go so far to say that she, of course, is the only sinless human being, that she never sinned, that her conception and birth was more miraculous than that of Jesus because she came from a human father and mother. But when we take a look at the word favor, we find that it's also used in Genesis 6 in regard to Noah. Now, we know Noah was a sinner, but in Genesis 6, verse 8, the New King James says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." But then the ESV, the NIV, and the New American Standard say, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Now, what this means is for no reason, either in Noah or in Mary, God chose to bless them in the way that he did. Noah being saved by the ark and Mary becoming the mother of God.
So make that connection a little more clearly for us there between ark and Mary.
The ark, of course, is later understood to represent the church upon the waters of baptism. Just in 1 Peter, it talks about just as those individuals were saved by water, so also we are saved by the waters of baptism. And, of course, what is happening in Mary is that the same Holy Spirit that comes to us in the Pentecost waters of baptism is also coming to Jesus. It's in our confessions. It's in the creed. The creed says, "Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary." And Martin Luther's explanation of this is excellent. I'll just read the first part. "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God begotten of the Father from eternity," so that means he's divine, "and also true man born of the Virgin Mary," that means he's human, "is my Lord." And so that's how I would find that connection.
All right. He comes to her. He calls her favored. That's the connection to Noah that you were just talking about.
Yes.
And then he announces that this, not how the birth is going to take place, but really how the conception is going to take place. How does he describe that?
He says, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, the word Jesus, actually in the Hebrew, is Joshua. And we talk a lot about the distinctions of Jesus. He has two natures, human and divine. He has two states, humiliation and exaltation. But we also talk about that he has three offices, prophet, priest, and king. And it's very interesting that the word Joshua appears in the Bible, Old Testament books, three times. The prophet is Hosea. That's in Hosea 1, verse 1, because the name Hosea comes from the word Joshua. The priest occurs in Zechariah 3, verse 8. That's the high priest after the Babylonian captivity. And, of course, the king or ruler after Moses was none other than Joshua himself. And all these three were used by God to help his people. And therefore, in Matthew 1:21, it says, she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for, and now here's the definition of Jesus, he will save his people from their sins.
Now, that's not just an accident that he gets this name, is it?
No. Like I say, it was prophesied, and Emmanuel is the other title, which is three Hebrew words, God with us. And therefore, the three Joshuas in the Old Testament, I believe, point forward to the three offices of Jesus, of prophet, priest, and king, which he now is in the heavenlies. Prophet, in using his word to bring people to faith. Priest, in praying for us. And king, in having the whole world in his hands. And so that's a real significant Old Testament understanding of the word Joshua, the name Joshua, and of course we have it also in our creed.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the birth of Jesus foretold in Luke chapter 1. We'll go more into the story on the other side of the break. Tom hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel, and you'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, the angel has many things to say to her that she has a hard time taking in. Mary's response is the subject after we come back.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God. For unto us a child is born. The titles of Christ, Good News of Great Joy, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christ-focused themes offered by Ad Crucem this Christmas. Shop adcrucem.com for greeting cards, gifts, housewares, ornaments, music, and much, much more. Available from adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through word and art. Adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com.
Standing Firm in a Hostile World is the theme of the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. This confessional Lutheran conference features Issues Etc. guest Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. If you are in Texas or would like some warmer weather in February, check out the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th at faithlutheransa.org. FaithLutheranSA.org.
For Noah, blessed Father, thou shalt be, all generations God and honor thee. Thy son shall be Emmanuel by his foretold, most highly.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Stanza 2 of the hymn Angel Gabriel. We're talking about that angel appearing to the Virgin Mary, announcing the birth of Jesus Christ. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, a couple things before we get to Mary's response, and that is the next thing that he promises her, and I'd like you to deal with this. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. What is the angel telling Mary there?
The angel, the word angel actually means the messenger from God, and I can't find one time in the Bible that the messenger of God as an angel ever says something that God already hasn't said. In other words, just as pastors should simply be repeating in sermons what God has said in the world, so also this angel does that. But where does he get this information? Well, there's two passages in the Old Testament that speak just as you were saying. The Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7 is one of them, where it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And then verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, and upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and even forevermore." And then in 2 Samuel 7, as God is promising once more about the house that he will build for his name, verse 13 in chapter 7 says, "I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And verse 16 says, "And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." And that's exactly what the angel is saying in verse 33 of Luke 1. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So the angel, as a good messenger of the Lord, is simply repeating to Mary perhaps what she had already known, because she, of course, read the Old Testament, but it's a reminder that she now is the favored one for which this fulfillment will now take place.
She has two responses, Tom. Her first response is just kind of being overwhelmed and befuddled. She asks the question, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" What do you make of it?
This is really important to understand, because a lot of people think it is very similar to Zechariah's statement when the angel tells them that Elizabeth will become pregnant even though she's of too old an age. His question is quite different. He says, "How shall I know this? I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years." What Zechariah is looking for, he's looking for a sign. And therefore, the angel correctly understands him to say that he does not believe what is happening. Now, that's really quite amazing in contrast to Mary. She doesn't ask for a sign. She's only asking how this will happen. And last week, I heard a part of a sermon. Boy, did he make a good point. He showed that Zechariah, already in the Old Testament, had a number of almost miraculous births, like Abraham and Sarah, Jacob and Rebecca, Elkanah and Hannah. These were women whose womb had been closed, and then God opened it at a time when they did not think they could have children anymore. And guess what? They had children. And it was a normal birth. Zechariah refuses to believe that they're going to have a normal birth, as did those, particularly Abraham and Sarah. But look at Mary. She's told that the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her, and that by the Holy Spirit she will conceive and be born. There is no evidence in the Old Testament that anyone had given birth as a virgin. And yet, and this is Mary's second response, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. And by the way, the word servant is a bad translation because she's actually using the word for slave. And so a better translation there would be, behold, I am a female slave of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. What faith, when there was absolutely no evidence in the Old Testament that anything like this had ever happened, and yet she believed.
There's a phrase here that the angel uses when explaining to her these things in response to her first thing, how will this be since I'm a virgin? He gives the example of Elizabeth, and then he says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Now, I'm wondering, can that be expanded beyond merely the context of how will I have a baby since I'm a virgin, or how has Elizabeth conceived in her barrenness and her old age, to what God is actually planning to accomplish through the baby born of Mary?
Yes, when I think of the phrase, nothing is impossible for God, I think of, first of all, that was also said to Abraham in regard to the birth of Isaac, but it was also said in that incident that Jesus talks about of the rich man who, of course, wants to know what he has to do to be saved, and Jesus says, oh, you want to do something, obey the commandments, and of course, he walks away sorrowful, doesn't want to give up his money, and then the disciples said, who then can be saved? And then Jesus says this, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And that's something you want to get across to the Sunday school children, because in their lives, the impossible has occurred again. Namely, the term overshadow is found in Exodus 40, verse 35. Moses was not able to enter the tent of the meeting because the cloud settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is what happened to Mary. And guess what? In Luke 1:35, it says very clearly that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her. But guess who else this happens to? Galatians 3, verse 27. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So to the children, those who've been baptized, you can actually look at them and say, God has filled you as he has done the Virgin Mary in a somewhat different way, but it's a miracle because he has found favor in you, not because you're one of his favorites, but because the word favor is the same word as grace. So God is gracious towards you when you don't deserve it, and that's why heaven is your home.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Mary visiting Elizabeth. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
The Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House on which we base our conversation is called Growing in Christ. It's truly Christ-centered, cross-focused. It has Christ at the center of everything, whether we're dealing with these New Testament, these seminal New Testament texts like the Annunciation of the Angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary of the birth of Christ, or far-flung someplace else in the New Testament or the Old Testament. You'll find it Christ-centered, cross-focused. Find out more about Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House at our website, issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House. I'll send you a free sample of Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller answer the question, is the funeral a celebration of life? We'll also talk with Pastor Jonathan Fisk about pop culture and Christmas, and we'll look forward to Sunday morning talking with Pastor David Peterson about the messengers from John the Baptist sent to Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Well, God is in the business of doing the impossible, and when the angel speaks those words to the Virgin Mary, he is speaking not only to her, but over her shoulder to us. He is reiterating the promise that is found in the very name of the child who is conceived in Mary's womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. He will save his people from their sins. Can you think of anything more impossible than saving an entire world of sinners bent upon their own destruction, their own rebellion and sin? I can't, but that is precisely what the angel is telling Mary and us that this child will do. He will do the impossible. He will save us from our sins. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia; Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas; Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri; Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California; Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas; Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri; Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas; Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas; and Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.